This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Could a traffic light system be key to restarting international travel? The British government seems to think so. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Later today, Prime Minister Boris Johnson is expected to announce the next stage of easing lockdown restrictions here in the UK. Non-essential shops will reopen starting next week, while pubs and restaurants will also be allowed to serve dinners outdoor. The Prime Minister is also expected to outline plans for a coronavirus vaccine passport and confirm countries will be graded under a traffic light system when international leisure travel is expected to resume on May 17th. The BBC's Caroline Davis has more on that.
People coming to the UK from designated green countries won't need to quarantine, although they'll still have to take a test before travelling, and at least one more when they arrive. Passengers arriving from amber countries will have to take the same tests and quarantine at home on arrival for 10 days. Although if they pay for an extra test on the fifth day and it's negative, they can leave quarantine early. In line with current regulations, only UK residents will be allowed in from countries on the red list, and they'll have to quarantine in a designated hotel. There are still some unanswered questions. There's no guarantee that international travel will restart on the 17th of May. This date could be pushed back. It's not confirmed which countries will be on the green list, and it's still unclear exactly how a country's position in the traffic light system will be determined.
That's Caroline Davis reporting there. There's a rush now across Europe to get populations vaccinated as a third wave of the coronavirus appears to be hitting its peak. In Poland, infection rates are 60 times higher than they were a year ago. Hungary now has one of the highest COVID mortality rates in the world, and nations like France and Italy are back in lockdown. But the pain isn't just limited to the European continent. Daily COVID-19 cases in India have surpassed more than 100,000 for the first time. As the nation fights the latest wave of the virus there, new restrictions are being imposed starting today in the western state of Maharashtra, as the BBC's Yogita Lamai reports.
A night curfew during the week and a full lockdown over weekends will be implemented until the end of April. Restaurants and cafes will only be allowed to do deliveries. Other than those providing essential services, all other businesses will be closed. Factory work and building construction will be allowed to go on with restrictions. The state of Maharashtra has seen a worrying surge in COVID-19 cases and deaths over the past month. Even in a city like Mumbai, which has better medical facilities than other parts of the region, hospitals are filling up. There are fears that critical care services and oxygen supplies will fall short if cases continue to rise at the current pace. While the government has not officially confirmed if a different variant of COVID-19 is behind the rapid surge, frontline doctors say what they're seeing now is more infectious than last year. Cases are also rising in other parts of the country.
That's Yogita Lamai reporting from Mumbai there. Checking the numbers now, and on the heels of that news, India's benchmark stock index fell nearly 2% in today's session. Meanwhile, shares of South Korea's LG Electronics slid 2.5%. The company announced today, after almost 6 years of losses, it'll scrap its smartphone division. Elsewhere, many European markets are closed for the Easter holiday. Amid the fallout from last month's collapse of Archegos Capital Management, a C-suite shakeup is rumored at Credit Suisse. The Swiss bank said losses related to the hedge fund's collapse could have a highly significant and material impact on first quarter results. Financial problems aside, though, filling executive-level roles in the middle of a pandemic comes with its own set of challenges. The BBC's Katie Silver has been looking into new research that shows how hiring for top jobs has changed.
Well, the major finding is, of course, there's been far fewer hirings. But there's also been this sort of regression to comfort zones. People who've had previous CEO experience, there's definitely more people like that being hired. There's also less hiring across industries. And also there seems to be less worried about whether or not they've got an advanced education or MBAs, but they're valuing experience of handling a crisis instead.
And despite all the efforts that companies seem to be making to increase diversity, this research shows that there's not so great news on how those efforts are going during the pandemic.
That's right, when it comes to moves towards either having more females at the top or a more ethnically diverse C-suite range. So I spoke, for example, to Alain Digneux. He's from Hedrick & Struggles. It's an executive recruitment firm. And he says that this move away from diversity doesn't appear to be a long-term trend, but that companies need to prepare for their future CEOs earlier in the piece.
Companies will have to build up a stronger, more stable and broader pool of potential candidates. Then when the next crisis will arrive, companies would be more ready.
So, Katie, shouldn't companies already be looking at the composition of their boards and C-suites? Did Alain give any indication of what they could do better in that case?
What he said is best practice is actually a longer-term plan, basically hiring someone perhaps 5 years ahead of time, bringing them in at a lower level and then having them being internally developed and immersed in the culture. So they say that that is the way that you can have a lower risk chance of having sort of a failed CEO is by having them have a really great level of experience within that company.
The BBC's Katie Silverforce in Singapore. Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Finally, last week we talked about April Fool's jokes, when to deploy them and when not to. Well, food delivery giant Deliveroo upset customers in France when it sent fake order confirmations that included more than $500 in charges on April 1st. The company later said on Twitter the stunt was an April Fool's joke and it offered pizzas on the house. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.